Welcome to Prairie Craft Almanac, a podcast about craft, nature, and simple creative living. I'm your host, Leanne, and it looks like we're still doing that sporadic schedule, and that's okay. Really, it is fine. I've actually been feeling really inspired lately and excited about a number of different things, more things than I'm going to talk about today. But I did want to tell you about some things I've been discovering. So we're just going to have kind of a casual chit-chat type of episode. And like I said before, that's what I kind of want to start doing more. I still want to have topical episodes with useful information and not just chit-chat type. But hopefully you will find this useful. Like I said, I discovered some cool stuff. And so I'm going to share that today. First, though, I want to mention, more than a month ago, I said I was going to do a fundraiser soon. Well, it didn't happen as soon as I wanted, but it is now officially happening. I am selling handmade zipper pouches that I designed and sewed. They were printed on Spoonflower fabric, and all of the proceeds will be donated to ICTSOS, and that's an organization I've talked about a lot before. But if you haven't heard me talk about them, they are a fantastic local organization that helps survivors of human trafficking, and they work with other organizations in the community to find solutions to fight human trafficking and hopefully end it someday. If you want to learn more, or if you want to buy a pouch, be sure to check the link in the show notes. You can visit my Etsy shop, and you can also visit ictsos.org to learn about them. The pouches are not on their website, but you can, again, go to my Etsy shop or mothandrustdiy.com to find the link to that. I sold quite a few within the first 24 hours, and they are limited edition. So if you are interested, be sure to check that out soon, because I am getting low on one of the colors. And anyway, if you have already purchased a pouch, I am so grateful. And if you cannot purchase a pouch, I totally understand. There's no pressure. If you would consider sharing the information and sharing the post or the link to those, that would be awesome. Okay, so on to new business. I have lately been finding out about several new places and people, or at least new to me, in the past couple of weeks. So first of all, my friend Nina of Tissue Sewing Studio, who I've talked about before, held her annual Stitch and Shop event, which is always so wonderful. And it was hosted this year at the Sewing Center Wichita, which I did not know actually existed, but it is an amazing sewing center. They have a ton of fabric and nice apparel fabric. I like quilt fabric, and there are some quilt shops in town, but sometimes I'm usually, you know, working with apparel fabrics, or I like to anyway, and they had a lot of that. And I have to go back, because at the Stitch and Shop, I was busy looking at all the yarn from the local dyers and spinners, but yeah, I have to go back and shop for fabric. They have a pretty big variety, and it seems pretty reasonably priced. And two of the yarn dyers that I discovered were Red Door Fibers, and she has some lovely luxury fibers. Like, she does a lot of silk and some alpaca, and I got to chat with her, and she was just really lovely, and her yarn is gorgeous. I bought a skein of something called, it's a merino silk blend, I think, and it's called Blazing Sun. That is the color, and it looks like it is glowing orange. I don't know what I'm going to make with that yet, but I'm very excited about it. It'll have to be something to show off, like a scarf or shawl. Probably not socks. Not that I don't like colored socks, but I really love how brilliant and luxurious this yarn is. I also discovered Amber Waves of Fiber, another local dyer. She also had some beautiful yarn. Well, it was all beautiful. I keep saying that, but I had a hard time choosing, and I was on a strict budget, but I finally picked a purple, bright purple color of yarn from her. That's, I think it was called Amethyst. It was a wool blend, and I don't remember what it was, but I will probably be blogging about it and I will definitely link to her in the show notes. So that was very fun. And of course, the regulars were there. People who've been to Stitch and Shop before, like Coast to Coast Yarn and 316 Dye Studio. Everybody there had amazing stuff, so I will link to them in the show notes. But I'm not just trying to sell you stuff, because I've been pretty good about not buying craft supplies. But I did want to support these local makers, and I do not feel bad about it. If you are in need of yarn, I would definitely check them out. I also stumbled upon, kind of, Tamsin's Gallery, which is an art gallery in downtown Wichita. I had seen this gallery's Facebook page. I knew it was around. I had a vague idea that they were open in the back of my mind. But I have been so out of the loop that I haven't been paying attention to anything, really. I only knew about the Stitch and Shop because of Nina. But I was in the area of Tamsin's Gallery the other day, doing something else, and they happened to be open, so I went in, and I am so glad I did. I did not know what I was missing. It is a true gem. They have international and local artists displayed, and they do a lot of events, and I really wanted to go to their outdoor market that Saturday, but work kind of got in the way, and I was unable to make it. It was a crazy day, but I'm going to go back for sure, because there's a painting I kind of want to buy. And the artists there that they displayed are amazing. War Clan Collective was a group that I somehow had not, again, I'm out of the loop, and I somehow had not known about them. They are a First Nation or Indigenous art collective based in Wichita, Kansas. They are three brothers. If you go to their Instagram, to the collective, they have links to the individual brothers. But their art, I love all of their styles. It's just, I love it so much. I can't show you, but like the painting I am interested in was actually done on an old ledger page, and it's monochrome kind of. The ledger, of course, is an old aged brown. And then he did a portrait in black paint or ink, I'm not sure exactly, over that. And again, I'm going to have to show pictures on my blog or something, because you have to see this. Or better yet, if you can go in person to Tamsin's Gallery and check it out, if you're local. But if not, I will link to that. And I also saw that Ernest Vincent Wood III had some prints at Tamsin's Gallery. I've mentioned him before. I think I love his work. He's an oil painter and does amazing stuff. Then I also found a lot of artists that I had never seen before, but that were no less amazing. So check it out if you can. If you're local, go there. Follow her Facebook to be updated on events, because I'm really excited to see what this gallery brings. I think they opened 2 months ago, she said. Tamsin's Gallery is owned by Mickey Maddox, and I got to talk with her. She is just a really lovely person, and I can tell really cares about promoting artists and just inspiring creativity. I mean, she really does care, and I'm very excited to maybe, hopefully, I don't know, have something there one day. We'll see. Anyway, I'm very excited about that. That was very cool. And then the third event I went to was at another place I didn't know existed, Great Fill. It is a sustainable refill bulk purchase shop here in Wichita. They hosted the Remakers Market, which is actually an event by Sunrise Wichita. This is a youth-led movement that supports local while being sustainable. So they're really awesome. And I keep saying that. I'm proud to be so inspired by all the awesome artists here in Wichita. So basically, the Remakers Market featured makers who remake. They upcycle or reclaim their materials, and there was so much good stuff there. Reclectic Goods, who you know as Christy, I've talked about her before. She was there. Melissa Long Wilson, another amazing fiber artist. And new to me was Lex Lando Creations. He and his girlfriend make really cool art. They had some precious fairy pots. And also Landon paints on old skateboards. And that sound, it's really awesome. Again, I wish I could show you right now, but I will link to him so you can check out his work for yourself. It was just good vibes all around. Very excited about that. And anyway, so getting out to some of these places and events really inspired me. And I had some realizations about some things, which were like so obvious that I'm not even going to talk about right now. Just good stuff. And this is all to say, I'm very excited about ideas I now have for the future, for future videos and patterns and things to explore. And anyway, so we'll see what happens. I'm seeing so many wonderful people do amazing things, and it's just been great. So, something I didn't know I'd talk about or spend time on here. I didn't know if it was necessary, but I decided I'm going to talk about it a little because it kind of ties in with something else I've been thinking about. And also, I initially mentioned this thing on the podcast, so I thought it was probably appropriate to address it here. About a year ago on the podcast, I talked about a new favorite of mine, Li Ziqi. She is a Chinese YouTuber. I went on and on about my delight in discovering this person who was apparently, as far as anyone could tell, living the slow life in rural China. And I went on and on about being impressed with her dedication to creating things from scratch and being so close to nature and all that good stuff. And while I knew at the time, obviously, it did probably take a crew to produce her videos. And despite my initial belief that her videos were nothing more than productions, when I started researching, I was led to believe that this truly was one woman's real life and that she was sharing this amazing beauty with the world. And it seemed pretty great and kind of remarkable. Okay. But then recently, while I was perusing YouTube, a video was recommended to me made by someone who goes by Serpensa. And the video was called China's Beautiful Lie. It was about Li. And anyway, I watched it and I felt kind of silly because going in, I didn't think I would be swayed. I mean, I'm sure I figured it was clickbait and it'd say, I don't know what, you know, I still believed, that Li was probably a really genuine person just sharing her cooking and beautiful house and surroundings. Anyway, I'll link to the video because I'm not going to go into it. But after I listened to this guy, I realized I probably should have trusted my first instincts and looked at the circumstances. And basically, again, if you watch this, you'll realize he's probably right. But essentially, the whole company and channel behind Li Ziqi was communist propaganda. And all things considered, it really does make a lot of sense that that is probably the case. I'm talking about this because, first of all, I guess I wanted to recant my awe at this amazing vlogger who was living the good life, living the slow life. I mean, the videos are still beautiful and fun to watch, and if it inspires someone, I think that's great. But the scenes on this production are probably about as highly curated as I initially thought they were. I don't know. But it also teaches a larger lesson, I think, about being misled by the way you see things online or even in real life. I know it's old news by now that you should not be comparing yourself to other people who have seemingly perfect lives or careers or studios. And I know social media is just the highlight reel of someone's life, etc. And this is all good and true. And personally, I think I've become pretty good about not wishing I had someone else's circumstances or wishing I had their Instagram feed. But beyond just being okay with other people's outwardly ideal lives, lately I've been thinking we need more quote unquote influencers who are just regular people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your run of the mill influencer, I guess. Well, maybe there is. I don't know. That's another time. And I'm not saying influencers should be boring. I don't even know if the idea of influencer is, well, again, that's another time. But I think I am far more interested in regular, everyday, genuine people pursuing what they want to pursue rather than someone who, in the end, is just basically following a marketing tactic. I'm also not knocking marketing per se. It is, in some form, a part of any business, you know, but you know what I mean. I think the perfectly curated feed is losing its appeal to a lot of people, including myself. And as much as people talk about social media detoxes, which again are great and useful, I still think if we would just embrace this idea of just being regular people, we could use social media for a tool that really would inspire creativity and not envy or dissatisfaction. And of course, if you don't know this, most advertising for big corporations is based on the consumer being dissatisfied with something in their life so that they know they need to buy said corporation's product. Anyway, I don't know exactly where I'm going with this. Maybe you get the general idea. It's just something I've been thinking about, musing on. I don't know. I'd love to know your thoughts on the whole thing. So let me know, really. Okay, I'll do a garden update. The garden is okay. The corn was a bust. The cucumbers were great. They're still producing quite a lot. The bindweed is really under control in one area that I'm calling my herb garden, although that's not 100% accurate, but that's what I call it. And it has taken over the other side of the garden. Each year it's like this. Every year, even for seasoned gardeners, is a new experience. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this update. I might do a blog post on the garden because I'm kind of running out of steam. I think as we get closer to fall, I'll be more inspired to garden. And I'm really excited about the fall garden, even though I haven't really done much to prepare for that. I think I need to start my cabbage seeds. The seeds I'm going to try are many years old, so I don't know if they'll do anything. I might end up buying plants. We'll see. But I really, man, I say this every year, I've got to put together a journal or book, gardening book for myself, like one that I actually keep updated and use. And I need to do that while things are still fresh in my mind. Will I? We'll see. I don't know. I don't remember if I mentioned it before, but I am growing cotton again this year, even though I haven't still processed the stuff from last year. I also tried sun hemp, and this has been such a struggle. Sun hemp is a type of hemp, of course, and it's used for fiber. It's used as a cover crop, but I've been having a hard time growing it. It's supposed to be relatively easy to grow and fast growing. It's supposed to get up to 6 to 10 feet tall, but the ones I planted are still about 6 inches tall. This was back in May. I planted the first ones, I think, and the ones I planted more recently have caught up with them. They were nibbled off by something when they were young because apparently they're also very appealing to wildlife. I don't know if they're actually going to get big enough where I can make fiber, but I am going to try again next year. I might have to try a different method. Maybe I'll start them in the greenhouse. I don't know, but I'm not giving up quite yet. Like I said, I've been making crafty plans. I'm feeling real inspired. When will these ideas manifest themselves into actual finished projects? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But the important thing is I have ideas, right? I mean, yeah. I probably better quit blabbing and get into the studio and start working on these ideas. Again, don't forget you can always contact me anytime about anything, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And if I don't respond, it's either because I haven't had time yet or I just didn't see the message. I do reply to everyone. Unless you're just trying to sell me cryptocurrency, and then I might not. But if you really want to make a connection, let me know. You can contact me through my website, mothandrustdiy.com, or send me a DM on Instagram where I'm at moth_and_rust, or really anywhere I'm online, you should be able to get in touch with me. I would love to know what you are working on, or what you would like to work on, or what you're just dreaming of working on. And if you have questions or thoughts about a show topic or a tutorial, just let me know. Again, I do hope that soon I will be doing this podcast more regularly. And again, as always, everything I talk about will be linked in the show notes or the video description if you happen to be listening on YouTube. Thank you again for everything. I truly appreciate your support and just hanging out with me. And I hope you are well, and I hope to talk with you again soon.